This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
And indeed, it is National Spring Training Live from Duffy's on Clematis in downtown West Palm Beach, Florida. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler with you for the next hour, our final show of the spring, and it is very fitting that we're following Caps hockey in a win. That's a good thing. Because our first guest is a native of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And if things had gone a different way, maybe he'd be playing in the NHL. But instead, Michael Soroka, one of the newest Nationals, joining the team this season as a free agent and getting ready to be in the rotation for the Nationals. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
So tell us about your goalie. I mean, we heard you were a goalie before you were a baseball player. So did you have what it took to be an NHL goalie? Or you're big. Not, you cover the net.
Not goaltending because I didn't like it. Turned out I didn't like it very much. My dad tried to convince me out of it when I was young, but we had Mika Kiprusoff was in Calgary. He was winning Vezinas. And every kid in Calgary wanted to be a goaltender. And then I got to about 12 and realized I didn't really like being stuck in net. So I kind of had to make a decision whether I was going to go power skate and do, you know, drills to get myself caught up with everybody else as a player or play baseball. And I loved baseball, and it's kind of an easy decision.
So who became your role model in baseball?
You know who it was? Right when I started kind of paying attention to baseball, was when the Blue Jays started to kind of get good again.
So I'm going
to
guess Halliday.
He was just on his way out. He left to Philly.
All right.
It was Jose Bautista.
Oh,
I
wow.
I had a Jose Bautista bat.
Was that the bat flip home run in the division series? Is that what?
No, I was drafted by that time, but I think okay. I think he hit like 54 in 2010.
Wow.
That's right when I started watching. So that's him and Encarnacion and that whole group I watched quite a bit of. So.
You had one team per country. Everybody was a Blue Jays fan in Canada,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when they do well, baseball in Canada thrives. I mean, kids want to play. Kids are starting to steer away from hockey a little bit now. It's, you know, it's getting expensive, and obviously travel baseball and stuff like that is still expensive too. But, it's starting to be an alternative for some of the athletes, and, being somebody that made it and can show people that that's a possibility too is really important.
People from Western Canada, I guess Calgary is considered more Western Canada, they show up in Seattle when the Blue Jays play there.
Yes, they do. Yeah, big time. I had some family come down to Seattle last year to try and see me pitch, and I missed the whole series. I didn't pitch. It was four games, I think, we had.
Wow.
So hopefully this year.
Yeah, we go to Seattle this year.
We do.
We're looking forward to that. So tell us, you know, joining the Nationals, how it came about this past winter. You became a free agent for the first time in You had a chance to make your own way, to determine your own destiny somewhat.
I did. It was an exciting process. It's something that we all work towards, and, it happened a little differently than I think I would have envisioned 5-6 years ago, having gotten there based on, you know, a couple years in the IL and some injuries that kind of brought me through. And, we met with teams early and kind of let them know that I wanted to start again. I still felt like that's where my skill set lies best, and I wasn't ready to give up on that. It's where, you know, I've been for my whole career. I got drafted and made I don't know how many starts in the minor leagues, and then, you know, the bullpen was never really on my mind, so I wasn't ready to turn the page on that, and Thankfully, there was enough teams, and obviously the Nationals being one of them, that were not just allowing me to do that, but excited for me to do that. I think that was the biggest thing that the Nationals were good at was, you know, we see what you did at the back end of the season in the bullpen. We see that those changes you made and think that it's going to transfer to being a starter.
So, there's so much to get to with how you ended up, you know, from a starter in Atlanta to the injuries you dealt with to the White Sox. But talking about that specifically, just last season, you started the year in the White Sox rotation, and it didn't go well. You moved to the bullpen, you're hurt, but then you come back and your repertoire is different. And you feel that you can carry that over to the starter. So what changes did you feel you needed to make, and how did that really translate in that second half of the season pitching in relief?
Yeah, so I started to make some changes 2023. I made some mechanical changes a bit that year and the year prior to that in the name of health and being able to stay out there on the field. It changed the way I was able to throw the baseball, and I got better at a couple things, lost the ability to do a couple things, and we just kind of had to figure out what that was. The big one was obviously kind of flopping the percentages on the four seam and the sinker. Used to be super sinker dominant, mix in the four, and now it's just flopped. And that's okay. It's still a recipe for success if done right. It's something that I wanted to do last spring, and it's something that kind of started to click with last spring and took a couple steps back when, we broke and tried to do some things that obviously, if I had to do differently, I wouldn't have done. And then when I went to the bullpen, it was kind of just, look, we're fighting for my career now. You know, I'm going to go out the way I want to, and we're going to let it ride with the four-seamer and kind of the top-to-bottom curveball, a little more than slider, and obviously had some success doing that. So, I think the Washington Nationals saw that and saw that, you know, we get that back in order and the changeup comes back. We're going to be in a good place.
Well, we can talk about the road a little bit. You're drafted by the Braves. There were some really good pitchers when you got there to get to the big leagues that you're pitching alongside in their rotation. And you had great success early on before the Achilles injury. You were runner-up rookie of the year. You're all-star. Number six in the Cy Young voting the year that you were 13-4 with a 2.68 ERA. Everything was on the upward trend. Your sky was the limit at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, like I kind of said earlier, is that, you know, when you envision free agency after a year like that, it's a little differently than the way it played out over the last 3-4 years. So, I learned so much over the last 3 years, and ultimately that's why I think, you know, we're starting to figure things out again, and we're getting towards a track that hopefully allows me to play this game until I quit. You know, that's everybody's dream, is that, you know, you get the chance to say when you're done and you know, you don't have the jersey ripped off your back. That's ultimately what I want to play for. So hopefully those 2-3 years missed to injury in my early 20s come back to, a lot more than that on the back end.
So in that, 2019 is a pretty special year among this the folks in this room. The Atlanta Braves won the division that year. You were on the Braves, and you faced the Nationals a bunch that season. They actually gave you two of your four losses. That was a pretty good lineup. You did beat them a couple of times. What do you remember about facing that team? I mean, that was Rendon. That was Soto. That was Eaton. It was Turner, Kendrick, Zim.
Yeah, yeah. I think I matched up with Scherzer three of those four games. So, obviously, the run the run differential probably wasn't very big right there. But, you know what? That team was stacked from the start. We saw that, and we knew, obviously, Soto was who he was, and we all knew that, even though I think that was probably what his first real season.
First full year, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, with Rendon hitting the way that he was, that was obviously a lineup that we knew if it got to the playoffs and the way that they could kind of stack the rotation that it was going to be trouble, and they got hot, and it was a pretty dominant win, especially over an Astros team that might have had an edge.
And you were a win away from facing the Nationals in the NLCS. I mean, the Nationals are getting ready to play the Dodgers in Game 5, and we're watching the first game, which was the Cardinals and the Braves, and we got to turn off the TV after the first inning. I don't recall ever seeing a game like that. I mean, that had to be just brutal, sitting in the dugout. You guys come to bat, and you're down 10-0.
Yeah, so I went to the bullpen basically as the starter that was, you know, available if needed. And a couple of the guys in the bullpen were excited to have me down there, show me the ropes a little bit, and Darren O'Day turns to me after the first inning and says, you know, I'm sorry, pal, it's usually a lot more fun down here.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was kind of shell shock a little bit because, yeah, I think 2-3 guys had been up and warming already and 20 minutes into the game. Yeah,
it's a fire drill in the first inning. And,
yeah.
And then I think good thing is the Cardinals used all their runs because they scored all against the Nationals in the four-game NLCS.
Yeah,
so you wore them out. You got them tired.
The Nats pitching did their job that year. That's for sure.
No doubt.
So you have that year, and then the next year, of course, you get hurt. And an injury like Achilles is really a fluke. No, you have nothing that leads up to it. It just happens. But it happened twice to you, and then you were talking about changing things mechanically. I read where people you work were thinking maybe there was a reason that caused stress that could have led to the Achilles, so you made mechanical changes, or was it more about pitching than the Achilles?
No, it was, I mean, health in general, Achilles shoulder, but there 100% was a reason why my Achilles was beaten up over time. I mean, it started to hurt off and on for a couple of years prior to when it finally went. Yeah, and it's kind of just something that we all deal with. We all deal with tendonitis. You know, we play through a whole bunch of things that don't ever land us on the IL. It just kind of, if it gets to that point where you do have to kind of pull the trigger on IL time. But, I think it happened. And the first time, again, kind of write it off as, you know, it happened. We're going to fix it. We're going to come back. But kind of when I started to get on the mound again is when it really, I started to beat it up again. And if you go back and look at the delivery from then, I really drifted a long ways over my toes while keeping my heel planted in the ground and then kind of twisted off of it. And it really did kind of result in just a ton of stress being in that area. And so when I found Bob Kies was the biomechanist that I'd been referred to through Walt Weiss, the bench coach, and they kind of saw that, you know, this is something that we're going to need to fix. And there's absolutely a reason why this keeps happening and why you've beaten it up over time. So glad to have found him because ultimately down that path saved my career.
Was there any? Did you have to compensate anything with your arm or your shoulder with the delivery as well to try to take some stress off the leg?
No, it was the other way around. I mean, the leg was kind of creating some leaks all the way up the chain.
Oh wow.
And everything was kind of stopping down there. And it was a really inefficient delivery that allowed me to throw, you know, a couple pitches quite well, but was going to land me on the IL over and over again. And you know, I also felt just the way my body would feel after throwing that it shouldn't feel that way as a 21-year-old. So that's kind of why we went down that route.
And hopefully the second surgery, they gave you a stronger Achilles to last a long time.
He bolted it down. Dr. Anderson bolted it down. We did everything right the second time around, too, and made sure that it's not going anywhere.
We're visiting with Michael Soroka, Nationals right-handed starting pitcher. It's National Spring Training live here from Duffy's on Clematis in downtown West Palm Beach. And we're coming back with more with Michael on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. We are back live here at Duffy's Sports Grill on Clematis in downtown West Palm Beach. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler with you here until the top of the hour. Visiting with Michael Soroka, Nationals right-handed pitcher so far. A couple of spring starts. Been great. 1-0, 1.29 ERA, 7 innings, a run, 4 hits so far.
Got to face his roomie the other day.
How about that?
Who are you living with this spring?
It's fun, yeah. Same with Eric Fetty.
A former guest on this program.
Yeah, he's
back in the day.
He's with the Cardinals, obviously, and we kind of just said we'll split a place and get a nicer place down here for rental.
Knew the area a little bit too, right? So yeah, he took the lead on that.
I'd actually been down here a little bit too, working with Eric Cressy down in basically Palm Beach Gardens. So,
right.
We knew where to go, and we just kind of decided to just split a place and have fun. So it's been a good time so far.
Well, bragging rights were on the line the other day when you guys squared off against each other, or did you not even talk about it?
No, it was fun. It was we talked about it, and I don't know who technically. I mean, I won, but.
Right, you got the win, but he didn't get the loss.
Yeah, right, and he went 3 hitless, so it wasn't a bad outing any means.
No, the first day I met you when I was at camp, and I introduced myself, I mean, just to ask you about what it was like being there, your face just lit up. You were, like, so happy to be in Nationals camp and seeing what's going on around you. And I said, wasn't like that last year? And you said, no, we kind of – I mean, spring is supposed to be like the time where everybody's optimistic, but it wasn't like that last year in Chicago, was it? It was tough right from the beginning?
You know, it was optimistic, I think, right at the beginning. I think that's when, you know, people, you know, we looked at our roster, and to be honest with you, it could have been a whole lot better than it was. And that's, I think, what we understood, and we knew that there was a lot of guys that were looking to fight for careers, too. And, you know, it just kind of, you know, went off the rails early, and you know, I can't sugarcoat it. I mean, we lost 121 games, right? It's a long season. So, you know, it was doing the little things, and I still say we had some good relationships in the clubhouse. The clubhouse was not a problem. It was just, you know, everything kind of seemed to go wrong when we were close, and we dropped a lot of close games, and then obviously, you know, weren't built to outslug somebody like the Dodgers and the Yankees, and you lose those games. And then, you know, we left, honestly, a lot of teams that came to playoffs and left and said, like, you guys aren't 120 loss type bad. You know, it's you played us hard. It was just not quite enough. And obviously that gets to be a long place over the course of 160 games.
Well, tell us what you see around you now with this, with the club, the talent that's here.
It's a lot like where it was with the Braves. And obviously I was in a different a scenario, I guess, because I was one of the rookies coming up. But it was an exciting time because there was so much of us that were looked to make an impact when we were called up. And I think it's the same here. You know, I think you have two or three guys that are ready to come out on the big stage. You know, JY has impressed me a ton in the outfield. I had somebody I didn't even really get to see a ton. I knew Wood was talented. But, I mean, that homer he hit the other night, backside, is, wow, is honestly not something I've seen since Acuna. Honestly, like, I haven't seen too many guys in the big leagues do that.
Soto.
Right. And you look at that, and it's impossible not to get excited. And not to mention, it was before that was a CJ homer backside, and that one impressed me. And then the Wood one kind of was like, whoa, this is – I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's Yepes said the same thing to me when I walked by him. He's like, that's like Acuna. And he did that. And I was like, yeah, I haven't seen that since.
So as far as the pitchers, I mean, you know, maybe some youngsters could front the rotation, but you've got you and Trevor's back. I mean, who's going to kind of take the lead in the starting rotation?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Trevor's been here. Trevor knows the guys. And, you know, we're making sure that things are tight from the start. You know, we've done a couple of dinners. I know we got another one tomorrow night. You know, we're making sure that we're getting to know Shinosuke really well. You know, we're doing all the little things to make this kind of seem like a family. And, you know, it matters a lot over the course of, again, a really long season. You know, I think we're going to be kind of splitting duties in that regard because obviously there isn't somebody that's been around forever.
No, but Jake Irving
do you feel like one of the veterans, though, because of how long, you know? I mean, you came in 2018.
I didn't at the beginning of camp, but once you get a chance to be around all these young guys,
all right,
I do a little more so. You know, you realize, okay, I have gone through a little bit more than a lot of these guys, and I started to embrace that a little bit more. But right out of the beginning of camp, I kind of shocked a little bit, but yeah.
I mean, Jake Irvin pitched today. He's young in the big leagues, but he's 28. So he took kind of a leadership role last year in the pitching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And so far this spring, to be honest with you, he's done that for me. And, you know, we talk about getting ahead, being ahead all the time, and you know, the importance of just staying on the gas the whole game. And I know he had a rough first inning today, you know, but he came right back and continued to throw those innings, which ultimately keeps your team in the game. It's going to happen. So kudos to him for that. And he kind of set the tone right out of the beginning of camp and just beat up the strike zone and let guys put the ball in play and punch them out when they get to two strikes. And that's always good to see, and it's easy to follow a guy that pitches like that.
How have you found working with kind of the yin and the yang of Jim Hickey, more of an old-school pitching coach, and Sean Doolittle, who obviously did it at the highest level, but he's kind of a very analytical thinker, always was when he was on the mound. How have you kind of meshed with the coaching staff?
It's been awesome. I'm somebody that I don't need too much as far as info goes. You know, I know I watch enough baseball to see these guys and know what their tendencies are. And if I don't, I can go watch, you know, on any of our systems, I can go just watch them swing. Having said that, somebody like hickey in game for me is perfect. You know, it's just it's small little reminders. Hey, this is what he did last at bat. You know, we talk about the just the little things that keep you aggressive, keep you on the gas pedal, and between outings, the stuff that you want to work on, whether it's pitch metrics, pitch grips, you know, deliveries and stuff like that. Doolittle is on top of it. I mean, day one, he sent me a video from my bullpen breakdown of that day. He sent it to me at like 8 p.m. When I texted him about it, I said, hey, I want to look at this tomorrow. He says, I'll get it to you tonight. And for somebody that played as long as he did and still has the drive to do that, you know he loves doing this. He loves helping us, and it's a huge boost.
In game, you talk about you don't like a lot of information. Do you work more off on what's working for you and then basically look at how they're swinging? If you're getting swings and misses, you want to keep going with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, the plan ultimately is the same every day. You have good enough stuff, everybody does, to be able to basically go out there and beat up the strike zone and more often than not win. And so that plan has to stay the same. You know, we can't dive too into what this guy likes to swing at, what he doesn't like to swing at, what his hits are on, where what quadrant of the zone he slugs. You know, you can just dive into every single one of these guys, and then they feel like Babe Ruth. And you're out there thinking, I have to be a surgeon to get this guy out, as opposed to, no, I'm better than you. I'm going to rip the ball over the heart of the plate to start the at-bat, and, you know, I'm just going to beat you. So that's a good place to stay, especially over a 6-7 inning start.
We're running short on our time, but we got a little scouting report on you from a former Braves broadcaster. We have, before I let you go, ask about your guitar playing ability.
You spoke to Chip.
Yes,
we talked to Chip.
Yes.
Carey.
Chip Carey.
You play a mean guitar. Did you? Are you going to lug this thing on? Are you going to lug a guitar on the road trip and demonstrate? Where did the musical talent come from?
I think he's gassing me up just a little bit. My mom was really, really big into music, and you know, I played Guitar Hero. My sister got me Guitar Hero when I was like 10, and once I beat the whole thing, I said, you know what, we got to move on to real guitar. And, I can play most of what I want to listen to.
So you don't read music, you just play by ear?
No, it's tabs.
Okay.
Tabs. I cheat. Right. I never all learned right. real sheet music for the guitar, at least. You know, but I play most of what I want to, and I think eventually one day I'll dive into it a little deeper, but I got to watch out how much I play, because sitting bent over the guitar for hours on end is not great.
I'm on the injured list with calluses on my finger from that wouldn't be so good.
Yeah, so I got to be a little careful, but it's definitely a love of mine, and I have my dad to thank for getting me into the right kind of music too.
There you go.
We should have brought an instrument and let him play for our crowd here.
Who knew? Maybe we'll do that on a pregame show during the season. We'll have more chances to talk then. We'll talk about baseball and what's happened in your starts during the season. But this was great for us to get a chance to know you a little better. Our listeners and Nationals fans are here tonight at Duffy's. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Hope you have a great season.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Soroka, right-handed starting pitcher for the Nationals. Outfielder Alex Call is here. He's going to join us when we continue with National Spring Training live from Duffy's on Clematis here in West Palm Beach on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. We are back for the second half of National Spring Training Live, our final show this spring from Duffy's on Clematis here in downtown West Palm Beach. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler with you, and we're joined by Nationals outfielder Alex Call. Played in the game this afternoon in Port St. Lucie.
That's a gamer to make the trip here.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Although you had a head start if you left after you came out of the game. Did you drive?
Well, actually, I live pretty close to Brady House, so I waited for him, and my parents actually drove us home. That way we were able to not have to go. We live in Juneau Beach, so didn't have to go to the complex and come back. So it saved us about 45 minutes.
Yeah, it looked tight. That's a tough place to get out of if you're there. I think a lot of people left because it was hot today.
Exactly. Yeah, it
started clearing out.
And I, you know, showed my player card and I said, hey, let's go around everybody. So sometimes it's nice to have a little perk.
Maybe they left when it was 6-0. You guys had a heck of a comeback. That was a great inning. You guys grinded out some at-bats in that seventh inning.
We sure did. It was great to see.
So, tell us about your spring. Everything's been going pretty well. I mean, you had the great month last year when you came up. You were the hottest hitter in baseball at the time. Unfortunately, you had We thought it was worse. We thought we were talking about Achilles with Michael Soroka when you got hurt coming in on that ball in right field. The way you went down, we feared Achilles. But fortunately, it was plantar fascia.
Yeah, you know, I had been dealing with that for a few weeks. I don't know how obvious it was to everybody else, but I was kind of limping around. But all good now. I mean, it was nice to have a full off season, get my normal work, more normal routine in, and coming to spring, ready to rock. Feel great. It's a great environment we have on our team and in camp, and I'm extremely excited for this year.
So you, we did an interview after you came up to the big leagues. I think it was maybe in Miami. You had a really rough season at AAA, and you made an adjustment, and that's kind of when things took off. So talk about kind of the change in approach and what you did to kind of turn your career around, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was really tough because I know that I know I'm a great player, but it just wasn't coming out for whatever reason. And I had looked at old video and things like that, and I'm just like, man, I'm done with this. I need something new. So I actually prayed. I'm like, God, can you give me something new? Give me a new thought. Give me a new process. And, you know, something just went different that night. I said, I'm going to do this with my hands and think about hitting the ball at the second baseman's feet. And like that, it was night and day, and I started just going on a tear in AAA from basically July 1st through the end of the year when I popped my plantar fascia.
Yeah, because I know early in the year, AAA, for a long time, you were hitting under 200.
I know. It was very frustrating. I was still taking my walks, you know, having great at-bats, playing great defense, you know, playing the game hard like always. But when it came to, you know, actually getting hits, it was really tough. And I was just kind of stuck in what I'd been working on even in 23. You know, I didn't have the greatest offensive season there. And so I was still trying to get back to my form that I had in all of 22, my best year ever. But sometimes you just got to let things go and move on to the future. So I was grateful for something new.
I know you had, from the time you came to the Nationals in the trade from Cleveland, you came up, your stance isn't quite as far open as it was, but you had made that adjustment already. You had closed it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, sometimes your feet just end up where they are. I like to start just slightly open and just see the ball come in nice and easy. You know, seeing the ball is the number one thing. You got to get a good ball to hit. That's the number one rule of hitting, according to Ted Williams. And that's something that I live by, too. So if they're not going to throw me my pitch, I'm going to go walk to first base.
Yeah, you're leading a lot of walks.
You're leading the world in walks right
now. That's right.
So tell us about the contest that Darnell Coles has. I mean, as a full organization,
yeah, yeah.
The Nationals probably weren't great in swing decisions. That's something we hear Davey Martinez talk about a lot. Darnell Coles talk about a lot. You know, if you're hitting the pitcher's pitch, tougher to do damage. If you're getting your pitch to hit, you want to pull the trigger and do damage. So that's kind of been a focus, and it's something you guys are kind of putting a little competition on this spring. So what does that approach entail?
Yeah, so it's basically like we want to swing at balls that are in the heart of the zone. So if I think the number was like you slug 580 on balls that are within the heart of the zone. Which is basically what Shohei Ohtani's slugging percentage.
So it's like elite level.
If you can swing at those pitches, you're an elite hitter. So that's our philosophy. And then if we take the ones on the outside or the borderline ones, you don't slug as much on those ones. So you don't get any points if you swing at those. You get a point if you swing at the middle ones. And if you take one that's way outside the zone, that you also get a point for that too because we don't want to chase. So it's a nice way for us to just continue to emphasize what our approach is going to be this year as a team and how we're going to, put up runs on the board and have a team approach if we're going to see pitches and we're going to make sure we're swinging at the good pitches. Because if someone throws a fastball right down the middle, we want to be swinging at it. We don't want to be just taking pitches for the sake of taking pitches.
Right.
But if it's the borderline one that we're putting in play weekly, that's what we want to try to avoid. So it's good to have some competition in the locker room and, you know, kind of razz each other a little bit and say, oh, yeah, I'm catching on you. Or, you know, I think I'm close to the top, which is, you know, one of my better my strengths. So I can kind of hold that over the other guys' heads.
Now, you talk about, I mean, you can play a complete game. You can play the outfield. You can run. But, I mean, your kind of elite skill set and your ticket to the big leagues is your plate discipline.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Is that something you've always had? Is it something you developed? Where does that stem from?
You know, it stems from, well, I can, you know, on a broader focus, I'd say it actually comes from watching Moneyball and understanding that, like, when Billy Beane's talking to the rest of his scouting directors and, like, we want the guy that gets on base. And so I started to think about that, and when I learned that that's where the game is kind of going, it's more about getting on base. Obviously, you want hits, but there's value in the guy that gets on base. That's when I learned, okay, I need to look at a walk as not something that's boring, but as something that's basically just as good as a hit, something that's going to help our team. It's baseball. You want to get on base, so whatever way that you can do that, do it. And so when I switched my focus from that, I was trying to get walks. You know, it's like I was still going to swing at my pitch, but I was like, okay, if I swing at only the ones in the middle, it's kind of an easy philosophy. And then if they're not going to throw me one in the middle, then I'm going to walk to first base. So it started with that, and then actually
trying
to...
So are you in college? Are you in high school? When is this?
Moneyball came out in what, 2006 or 8 or whatever? Sure. So, but that's kind of how it started. But then, yeah, as I went through college and as I went through...
Shout out to Ball State, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. We got a Ball State grad over here.
425 career OBP at Ball State is what our interns tell us. So you were getting on base in college.
Exactly. So, I mean, but then you get to, pro ball and it gets a little bit harder. And, again, you just got to find ways to get on base. And I started to value that because I saw that the teams were valuing that. And so if I want to make to the big leagues, I want to do what teams are valuing. So I want to get on base, whether it's a walk or a hit. Obviously, you have to hit. But taking your walks and putting that feather in your cap, that's really beneficial. So I started to try to train that then. I used the Oculus, and I used the Win Reality. You guys probably see a lot of the commercials. I use the Win Reality every day, basically, because I can watch the pitcher that's going to throw tonight, and I can see all of his pitches, and, I can know my zone. The automated zone that, we can do the challenge system now in some of the places, I feel pretty confident if I have to challenge, because I know where it is based on all the reps that I've had on that headset.
I was going to say, we've only done a couple of games because they don't have it at Cacti, the park here in West Palm Beach. We haven't seen you challenge yet. Have any of the road games you've gotten a challenge?
I haven't challenged yet. I actually could have challenged today. I didn't. It was a 2-0 count. It was a borderline fastball.
So you're looking at game situation.
Yes, game situation plays into it. But if I know it's a ball, I don't care if it's a 3-0 count. I'll challenge it.
Okay.
Because I feel that confident, especially balls away and balls up. In and down are a little bit harder for me to win. But last year in AAA, I was like 70% correct, and average is about 51. So
well, you must like this rule.
I absolutely love that rule. I think it's a good borderline between a good compromise between right.
So,
what's
so you,
going
you
on.
Wouldn't want a full automated strike zone, or would you?
I wouldn't want a full automated strike zone because it would completely change the game. Even though it would benefit me, the catchers wouldn't have to catch. They would they could be in a crouch like this, ready to throw. It doesn't matter how they catch the ball because the automated zone is going to go strike or ball. So that changes the game too much, and it's a nice compromise where it's like, hey, if you know it's a ball and the ump got it way wrong, I mean, hey, challenge. Versus if he's like, oh, it could be a strike, it gets rid of the bad ones.
All right.
Visiting with Alex Call, Nationals outfielder here on National Spring Training Live from Duffy's on Clematis in West Palm Beach. One more segment to go, and we'll be back with that after these messages on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. And the first pitch to Alex Call swung on and hit deep to left, down the line, toward the corner, way back, going, and gone! Goodbye! It's a game-winning walk-off home run for Alex Call on the first pitch from Brad Boxberger.
Is that a good memory?
Oh,
you like that?
Your smile's ear to ear, man.
I mean, it's just, as a kid, you dream your whole life of hitting a walk-off home run. I never hit a walk-off home run at any level. And I'm like, now I'm in the big leagues, and it's like I'm walking up to the plate, and I'm not really thinking about hitting a walk-off home run. But, man, I got that first pitch right down the middle, and it was just – I smacked it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I did it. And like, it was right down the line to where I could kind of, like, watch it and jump without showing up the pitcher, because that could have been foul even though I knew it was going to be fair. And so I just got to have a blast around the bases, and just one of those moments you dream of your whole life. You visualize in your head, you see it, and
well, you
to have it come true was
you
awesome.
Weren't the only one who saw it, because our studio producer who played that, Vic Ferreira, had said in the break before that inning that we need a home run on the first pitch because the time of that game was 1 hour and 59 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you had homered on the fourth pitch, it would have been a two-hour game.
Yeah.
So you got us home in under 2 hours.
Yeah,
so
that
we
was,
never appreciate
happens.
That.
Yeah, that was a great game. I mean, Patrick had a perfect game going for a while. And,
yeah, yeah.
I yeah, we pulled it out. It was great.
We are visiting with Alex Call, Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler with you. Our final segment of National Spring Training Live from Duffy's here on Clematis. We're talking about pitch selection and team attitude, and we're seeing, you know, K-Bert Ruiz be more selective at the plate, and Luis Garcia. Guys like that who can swing. We know tremendous talent for Garcia as a hitter.
Yep.
You've seen it. He can hit the ball to all fields as well. And Ruiz has had a couple of years. He's had two great halves, but he hasn't put together like an entire season. And he has unbelievable bat-to-ball skills if he can be more selective.
Yeah, you know, those guys, incredible bat-to-ball, great players, you know, great, just good guys. And I really think that if we can just fully adopt this philosophy as a team, it makes sense. It's not only does it make sense, it's pretty simple. It's like, let's swing at the pitches that are for sure strikes. And let's. And I've talked to K-Bear about it, just like, hey, like, you can be comfortable taking a pitch that you don't, you know you can smash. Like, if it's an 0-1 count, it's like, who cares? It's like, they got to bring you some more good pitches. You know, so if you can get really comfortable locking into middle of middle, then you can, you're going to swing at pitches that aren't middle-middle, but they're going to be at least in the zone. If you're going for the whole zone, you're going to swing it.
You're going to chase.
You're going to chase. So yeah. It's a good, simple, easy philosophy that we can incorporate. And I'm excited for it this year.
And when we talk, Dave and I talk to Darnell Coles all the time. That's what he talked about last year. He goes, we'd have ebb and flows. He goes, but there were too many flows of too many guys chasing.
Yeah.
And it was a hard thing
and
last year.
And generally men
team.
On base. And that's when the pitcher's in trouble.
Yeah.
Don't help him out with men on base.
Yeah. No, you got to shrink the zone. I mean, my philosophy is like, I mean, like I said, it's like, I'm going to swing at this one right down the middle. And if it's not there, I'm probably going to take it. And if they're not going to give me one over the course of the bat, then I'm just going to go to first and cause havoc, you know. And if that's our mindset, we're just going to pass the baton on to the next guy, let him do the work, make the pitcher, earn every strike, earn every out. He's going to have stress on his arm. That's going to put stress on the bullpen. That's going to get guys in situations they don't want to be in, and it's going to be a tough series for that team. So that's going to be our philosophy, and I think we'll have success doing it.
Now, you were born in Minnesota. You grew up in Wisconsin, so you're an upper Midwest guy. Is that still where you make your home in the off season?
No, we, my wife and I and our son, we live in Phoenix suburbs.
So that's a little better to keep your,
yeah,
your training.
Certainly. Yeah, I mean, we don't get to fully enjoy the summer as in the, you know, vacation and stuff. We're playing ball, which is kind of like a vacation. But so we like to have the sun instead of the snow in Phoenix versus Wisconsin. But we go back for Christmas. I don't really like to have to imagine a non-white Christmas. So I'd rather just go home and get my white Christmas every year and enjoy that.
So did Phoenix come from when you were with teams that trained in Phoenix?
Yeah, you know, when I got drafted by the White Sox in 2016, I went down to Phoenix at their facility, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is beautiful. And just I would go down there at the start of every year, and then I got traded to Cleveland, so I was in another Arizona complex there. And I'm like, hey, my wife and I love it down here. It's beautiful. So we got a house, and as long as I'm playing, we'll be in that house and off-seasoning in Phoenix area, and then after that, we'll see what happens.
So what's your off-season routine then, as far as improving your game?
Well, you know, it's always starts in the weight room and trying to get faster, stronger, and continue to just make sure my body is ready to play every day, whatever my role is, whatever is going to be asked of me, to be able to perform and stay healthy. That's the number one thing. So putting myself in a position to do that, number one. And then number two, make gains on where you're already at. So try to be more explosive, be stronger, all that stuff, be more flexible. And then, get your swings in and work. I mean, I was coming off one of my best stretches of my career ever. So I didn't really go too hard in the cage like I normally would try to revamp my swing. I just said, hey, this is what we're doing. I'm going to stick with my routine. And I didn't have to – I mean, I still hit a ton, but not nearly as much as what my normal offseason number would be.
When you were traded to the Nationals, they were like in the full rebuild mode. A lot of guys have been traded away, and they were in development trying to get guys to the big leagues. Compare then – to when you look around and see the talent around you on this ball club right now?
Yeah, you know, it was an interesting time when I went over there. I was just grateful to have an opportunity in the big leagues somewhere and try to get my feet you know, more comfortable where I was at. And then learning from the veteran guys, you know, Nelson Cruz and guys like that. So that was really – it was fun to be around those guys. But then now you see just what we've got. You know, we got so many good guys up and down the lineup. It's going to be – we have a great complement of our young guys and then guys that we brought in. And I think just – it's been so much fun to be around the guys. I think we're having fun with each other. We're going to help each other get better, and we're going to have a mindset of team first where it's like we're all in this together. We're going to pull the rope in the same direction. We all went in the offseason with goals to improve individually our games, and if we all individually improve our games, then as a collective whole, we're going to be, by definition, a lot better. And so that's where we're at, and I'm excited.
So are you in the day game tomorrow or the night game?
I'll be in the day game at Miami facing Alcantara.
Look for pitches in the zone.
Well, for sure, yeah. Thankfully, I actually have some decent numbers off him somehow. But, yeah, got to get him in the zone, got to wait him out.
Yep.
You know, don't swing at the borderline sinker. Just get your pitch in the middle. It's that simple. Baseball is a simple game. Figure out how to do it.
Well, just about getting to the point. Midway through spring training, so a few weeks to go. Opening day will be here before you know it. Alex, thanks for coming by and doing this. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys. And thanks to all the Nats fans coming out here tonight. We appreciate you. Appreciate you a lot. Thanks, guys.
Alex Call, Nats outfielder, our guest here, our final spring training live show. Thanks to the folks here at Duffy's who've been so great to us for our three shows. We hope we'll be back here doing this again next spring. We're back with you tomorrow night on 106.7 The Fan, Nats and Marlins. We'll have the night game of the day-night split day twin bill, 6 o'clock airtime tomorrow night. For Dave Jagler, Charlie Slows, thanks for joining us for Nats spring training live here from West Palm Beach. Have a good night, everybody.